Good morning, guys. My name is Austin. I'm the pastor here at the Gates Church, and we've been doing a little series talking about why we call it the Gates Church. We first saw that there's a gate that divides us from God. It's because of our sin. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were in the garden with God, and they had it nice, they had it good, but they were rebellious. They disobeyed the one rule and ate from the forbidden tree. And then they were expelled because of their sin and disobedience. They were expelled from the garden, and a gate was erected. There was a huge sword that slung around everywhere, and a cherubim that separated man from God and his garden and his presence. Well, there was a promise that the gate would be open. And today we're going to be seeing that Jesus is this gate. He is the open gate. He is the way back into God. So I wanted to start out. I remember about a year ago, I had just bought a house and we were fixing it up. It was all crazy. And my contractor was asking me what kind of door I wanted. And I didn't know there were so many different kind of doors. So I went to the store. I checked out all the doors. There are just hundreds of doors. Some doors with windows, some without windows, some have designs, some are totally made out of wood, some are really, really, really expensive, some are not so expensive. Then there's screen doors. It's a lot of different kind of doors. And when we think about spiritual things, when we think about eternal things, there's a lot of different opinions. There's a lot of different doors, if you will. There's a lot of different paths. Some people think all ways lead to one. I wanted to read this quote from Buddha. He's the founder of the religion Buddhism. So I wanted to read his quote this morning to get us started. He says this: "No one saves us but ourselves. No one can and no one may. We ourselves must walk the path." So this is from Buddha. Now, this is very different than what we're going to see Jesus say. Jesus actually says, "I am the path. You have to come through me to be saved, to receive forgiveness, to receive remittance back into the presence of God, back into the garden, back into paradise. You have to come through me." So how do we know for sure he is the one true door? Well, why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll come back and we're going to walk through all of chapter 10 of John. So I can pray while you find that. John chapter 10. So Father, we ask you, Lord, to truly show us that you truly are the way, the door, the gate. You are the way back into God, back to knowing him, relating to him. So Lord, we pray today that you would, as we get into the scripture today, that you would speak to us and we would hear your voice. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to give us grace this morning. We want to receive your grace. Lord, we pray that we would experience your life-giving power, Lord. And ultimately, Lord, we want to follow your leadership. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Have you ever gotten a strange call? You know, some foreign number, a number you've never really known. You didn't recognize the number at all. My mom had recently been getting some strange calls, and someone actually started sending her, we'll call them, romantic pictures. And she actually got really angry, and she called them up, and she started fussing at them. All right, because she's, "You don't know me. I don't know you. You're a stranger." All right. So we're going to dive into this text starting in verse 1. And here's the first thing that we see. That how do we know that God's the real thing here? That Jesus is the real gate, the real door. And the first thing that I want us to see is that we will recognize his voice. So when we hear voices, when people speak to us about spiritual truths, about eternity, here's the question: is this a stranger or is this a familiar voice? And what we're going to really see Jesus here doing is he contrasts himself in at least four different ways that we're going to talk about. And here's the first one: recognition of his voice. So let's take a look and see. Verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So Jesus makes these word pictures, these analogies, and he's starting out, he's really comparing his teaching, the things he's saying, his voice, to the things that others are teaching, others are saying. And Jesus was definitely going against the status quo in very many ways. And so he is actually making this analogy. I'm the real thing, and the others are robbers. See, our culture, we don't know much about sheep, but in Jesus' culture, sheep was the big deal. I mean, it was every small town had a corral, this sheep pen, this sheep gate. It was often built with rocks, a big wall, a gate, a big wall, a fenced-in area, and you would put your sheep in there, and you would go and retrieve your sheep by just kind of showing up and going in there and speaking. And they would recognize the voice, they would come after him. So this is what he says. He says to him, the shepherd of the sheep that comes, the authentic, real shepherd, says, first of all, the gatekeeper opens the thing so that he can get in there and be with the sheep. So this is kind of like a security guard that's giving access to the legitimate shepherds. And Jesus is saying, I would be able to get through that. A lot of people talk about how this is the Holy Spirit who would kind of open up our eyes to allow Jesus to come in so that we could receive him, hear his voice. So that's in view here, that there is a third person of God that is opening the door, allowing Jesus to come in. And so it says, so the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So when he's brought out all his own, he goes before them. All right? And that's a great phrase, isn't it? Jesus has never asked us to do anything that he hasn't stepped out of heaven, stepped into a body, and did. He has gone before us, and he goes before them so that he can make a way. He goes before us so that he knows, so that he knows what's coming, and we can be sure that he's leading us to a good place. So the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. They know his voice. We know the Father's voice. Many of you know I have an 8-month-old baby. I love him. He's really cool. His name is Barnabas. We hang out a lot. He knows my voice, all right? When I start talking, he looks at me. He cares a lot about his dad. He loves his dad. I'm his dad. And he checks around. He hears my voice. He wants to hang out. But I'll tell you, he really also knows very well his mother's voice. His mother's voice was the first thing he ever heard in life. When he came into the world, his mother just happened to be making some sounds with her voice. She was praising the Lord very loudly when Barnabas came into the world, and he has not forgotten that. When he came into the world, when he was born, he heard my wife's voice, so he always knows his mama's voice. And what's in view here is that the Lord God spoke us all into existence. So there's a deep sense where his voice is familiar. There's something deep in our core where we realize that this is a God, and the content of what he is saying, this is our God, this is the one true God, and what he is saying is true. That rings deep within us. Romans 8 says that there's a spirit, that the spirit of the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So when we hear the voice of God, something in us is activated, and we remember, we identify to the things that this Jesus says, this Jesus has done. And we cannot receive a strange voice. We can't receive a stranger. Look at what verse 5 says. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. I have children, they're all 7 and younger, 4 children. And we are all the time teaching them the proper thing to do if a stranger comes to them and tries to kidnap them. They're to scream, they're to run, they're to never be alone, they're to stay with us. So there are these rules, there are these precautions. And of course, it would be devastating for our children to be stolen away by a stranger and put out to some type of crazy, awful fate. But it's also incredibly sad that many people would be swept away by false teaching, simply just teaching that does not have its origin in the Jesus that we have come to know. So how do we know, though, that he's the right one? First of all, we recognize his voice. True sheep hear the shepherd and go with him. Number 2, we receive his grace. Aren't you glad, I know I am, that Jesus didn't just jump into a body from heaven, come to earth, and say, hey, save yourself, all right? I can't save you. No one can save you. Save yourself. You must walk your path. But instead, Jesus says the opposite. He says, truly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. I'm the gate. I am the way of salvation for you. Look at verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door, if anybody enters by me. So we all get this analogy. We've probably all had something stolen from us at some point in some time. Maybe for some of us it was our heart. Maybe for some of us it was our cash. Maybe for some of us it was something even worse. And we've been through situations where people have taken things from us that don't belong to them, and it's very painful. And ultimately, Jesus here is bringing this analogy, and he's saying that there are those that will take from you, they will steal from you, they will abuse you, they will oppress you, they will take advantage of you, but I am one who gives to you. So truly, I say to you, I am the door. Everyone else is thieves and robbers. Don't listen to them. I am the door, but you have to receive it from me. So he says this, if anyone enters in by me, he will be saved. He will go in and he will go out and find pasture. So I just want to speak to you a few things here today about the grace of God. The Lord Jesus came here to give you a gift, to give you himself, to give you a new status, a new citizenship. He came here to bring you out of death and into life. So 3 things that are in view here. He'll be saved. I need rescue today. We are alienated from God. He is our source. He is our source of joy, source of hope, source of life, source of eternity. And our sin has made it so that we are separated from him. And so Jesus, time and time again, he uses this word about salvation. He says, I'm coming here, and I've came here to rescue you from that and bring you back in. That's what he says, number 2. He'll be saved, and he will go in. We receive his grace. He'll go in. So he has a place for you in his family. He wants to bring you into the flock. He wants to bring you into the sheep pen if you'll enter in. He wants to bring you in so that you can be a part. He has a place for you. So he is here to rescue you, and he has a place for you in his kingdom family. And he says also, you can go in and out and find Pastor, I want you to know that knowing Jesus means that Jesus will resource you. He'll give you what you need. He'll give you what you need. And here's the important thing. It's free. And I don't know about you. I was talking about those doors earlier. My contractor, ultimately, I wanted the door that's the cheapest. All right? Because if it's free, it's for me. And Jesus comes here and he is giving us something that we could never afford. We could never afford his rescue. We could never afford this position that he gives us. We could never afford the resources that he gives us. And he gives it for free. But here's the thing. Whenever you get a gift, every Christmas, there's a condition. You have to open that thing up and receive it. So Jesus says here, enter in. Enter in. So he's saying, the sheep will hear my voice. They'll come. They won't listen to the thieves and robbers, but they will enter in. Have you entered in to this salvation? Have you entered into this position? Have you entered in to find the pasture, the resources that God will give you to do his work? We know Jesus is the way. We know he's the gate because we recognize his voice and we receive his gift. We receive his grace. We receive his favor. And number three, we live his life. So as we come in here, we rent out the movie theater every week. We realize that we're not just here to preach a fun, nice sermon and feel good and give each other some high fives, but we're here to see dead things, dead people come alive. We are here for life and death stuff. And so Jesus here turns this to another contrast where there's those around him that are murderers. They want to take life. They want to destroy. They want to so oppress people with their false teaching that he uses this comparison. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So I want you to know here today that there's an enemy after you. There's someone after you seeking to devour you, to destroy you, to kill you, to steal your life away. I was taking my kids to a state park up near where I live called Marshy Point. We go there every now and then, every few weeks. And there's a little bit of a tradition that I do with my kids. I pick them up and I hang them over the side of the dock that's there into the Chesapeake Bay, this kind of swampy, marshy land. And I pick them up. And I put their feet into the water. This particular day, I wasn't feeling up to picking up my oldest child. But I picked up my five-year-old, and I picked him up, and I put him into the water. And he, being who he is, a rambunctious little boy, he sticks his feet, just drops them in the water. His shoes are soaking wet. And so then my little three-year-old, she's like, "Daddy, Daddy, put me in the water. It's my turn. It's my turn." And she jumps up into my arms, and I hold her arms up, and she's hanging. She's dangling over this dock, and I start to put her in there, and I'm kind of dipping her in. She's a little scared. She's young. She doesn't know. And all of a sudden, my wife starts screaming because she's right there. She starts screaming, "Just get my daughter out of the water," she said. And I looked, and there is the biggest water snake I've ever seen coming, almost like striking toward my daughter in the water. And I pulled her up out of the water. Incredible thing was she didn't see the snake. I actually didn't get her feet in the water yet, but I pulled her right up. And so we watched the snake a little while, and my daughter didn't see it, and it went underwater. So we sat there a little while, and we enjoyed everything, and we were waiting for the snake to come back, and it didn't. So then my little daughter was like, "Hey, please let me put my feet in the water." And it's a tradition. So I picked her up, and I kind of dipped her in the water, And then the snake popped up again, and it was so close to her, and it was about to strike her, and I pulled her back out of the water, and we did it again. We waited. And the funny thing was, my daughter, she still wanted to put her feet in the water because she didn't see that snake. And here's the truth, family. Sometimes we adapt certain thinking, we embrace certain teaching, and we don't really see that we've done it. We don't really know that we're wandering into something that's going, or at least trying, to kill, steal, and destroy us. But Jesus comes to give the contrast, to show us what life is. Because where the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and take, Jesus comes to give, and particularly in this third point, give us his life, his spiritual life force. So it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, verse 10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And some repetition here. I am the good shepherd. And he explains this thing about his life, giving us abundant life. He says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A lot of these corrals in cities, they had rock walls, and they just had an opening. And so the shepherd would literally become the gate at night. He would sleep in the doorway. And when wolves would come, they would have to fight the wolves. They would die. Shepherds would die defending their sheep. Jesus died defending his sheep. Jesus actually died not on accident. He died on purpose. We're going to see he talks about this. He died on purpose so that he could give us his life. The Bible teaches not only are we forgiven because Jesus took our punishment, but it also teaches that when we have faith in Jesus, because of what he's done through his life and death and resurrection, when we have faith in Jesus, he gives us his life. That's to say that the Father doesn't just see that we're forgiven. He sees that we're righteous also. He sees that we've done the life. He sees that we've lived a perfect life, the perfect life of Jesus. This is what the Bible talks about when it talks about the righteousness of Jesus. So we are forgiven by Jesus, but we're also given the righteousness of Jesus. And then in turn, the Holy Spirit gives us a new life, a way to live victoriously over sin. It's not to say that we're going to be sinless, but it is going to say that we sin less because we have the power of Jesus in us. So how do we know Jesus is the real one? Because we have a new force, a new power of life in us. We have new life. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need a new life. You don't just need a changed life. You need a new life from Jesus. Walking in his life. So we recognize his voice, we receive his grace, we live his life, and then finally this morning, we follow his leadership. We follow his leadership. If you went on a hike with Jesus, he would spot all the snakes. Right? He would know all the correct directions to go, all the shortcuts to go. He would be a proven leader. And that's kind of what he does here. He kind of puts this imagery out there. Would you rather follow a sellout or a proven leader? So sometimes in the shepherd gang, a shepherd would try to expand his sheep giving stuff, and he would hire a guy to travel around with the sheep, keep a sheep. And so Jesus is making the point, this hired hand is not a shepherd, right? He is not invested in the sheep, because he doesn't really own the sheep. He's just getting minimum wage. All right. So when the wolf comes for the hired hand, I mean, he gets out of there. This ain't worth $8.50. No way. So look at what he says in verse 12. He uses an analogy saying that we should follow him because he is the proven leader. Verse 12, he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd. It says this, he does not own the sheep. Right? He hasn't invested his resources, his savings into the sheep. I want you to know, Jesus has given more than just money for you. He's given his own body for you. He has given his blood for you. He has invested all that he has in you, his sheep, those who hear him, those who receive his grace, those who live his life. But a hired hand, he does not own the sheep. And he sees the wolf coming. He leaves the sheep and flees. Go for it, wolf. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, in Jesus' analogy, there's one thing we really need to stick in here. That we are like sheep and that we need help. We got wolves coming after us. We got thieves coming after us. We got hired hands that aren't going to take care of us, leaving us in the middle of nowhere. We'll get scattered everywhere. There's 100 other things we could talk about that could happen to sheep. We need a good shepherd, not just a sellout. We need a Jesus that's with us thick and thin. Not a guy that shows up and says, hey man, save yourself. Find your path. Do the thing that's right for you. Find your own way. We need a guy that will show up. We need a God. We need a Lord that will show up and stay with us. See it through. It's funny when you go vote, you know, trying to, you know, elect a leader, get a politic in there, get somebody to be your governor, your senator, your president. And when you go there to the voting booth, you will see thousands of signs that say someone's last name, Smith, integrity, you know, Duncan, faithful. And is that if that's all you have to go on, maybe you shouldn't be voting. All we've got on some leaders is a sign and an adjective. But what we have with Jesus is 2,000 years of proven leadership. I mean, he has led this movement the whole way. He is the head of the church. He is the good shepherd. He is leading the flock in an incredible way. He is a proven leader. And he talks about this a little bit. This is his campaign. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. He's invested. He's given us everything. He's given his life. He's resurrected. He says, I know my people, I know my sheep, I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. He says this, he repeats this, I lay down my life for the sheep. I will die for you. He tells us today, I have died for you. And then he talks about this, and we see the mission of the church, the mission of God in here. He says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. I think this speaks of those who will come to Christ after Jesus lays down his life. Those who will know him, those who will find, those who will enter into his sheep pen, you and me. I lay down my life, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Hear that? Do you hear his voice this morning? So there will be one flock and one shepherd. You enter in. You have place. You have position. You have pasture. You have resources. You have rescue. You're welcome to come into his flock today. And he says this. God loves this. This is what God is all about. This is what the Father has always wanted. He's wanted me to be down here, give my life, so that all the sheep can come together, have resource, have salvation, have rescue, have position. It says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. He makes this point. No one takes it from me. Jesus didn't die on accident. Jesus didn't die because Jews were mad at him. Jesus didn't die because Rome was crazy. Jesus laid down his life for you. And he says, I have the authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father. So this is Jesus' campaign. This is why I am the gate. I am the door. I am the path. I am the salvation you need. You recognize my voice. You receive my grace. You receive my gift. You live my life. You follow my leadership, and it goes well for you. And family, we want to find a way to talk about Jesus so that people have to deal with Jesus. We want to find the right words. We want to find the right opportunities. But at the end of the day, every single living soul has to deal with Jesus. And listen to how these people dealt with Jesus. They said one or two things. This man is either crazy, or he is the devil, or he is Lord. Look at what it says, verse 19. The division arose among the Jews because of these words that Jesus said. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? And then here's others. They said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? I want you to know, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded every one of us. But Jesus needs to come in and spiritually open our eyes. He needs to spiritually speak to us so that we can truly hear his voice, receive his gift, live his life, follow him. Now here's the thing. We can't just say Jesus is a good guy and we should do some of what he says. That's not Jesus. Jesus is either a scoundrel, a devil, seeking to manipulate and create a religious movement for his own benefit, which is ridiculous. It makes no sense that that's actually what he is. Or he is insane. He's insane, and he got incredibly lucky all the time, healing blind people, calming the sea, rising from the dead. Those things are all just coincidences. And he was a crazy man that was always talking about that he was the gate, that he was God. No, family, Jesus is the healer of the blind. He opens our eyes to see what is so clear, that he is the good shepherd. He speaks to us. He lays down his life for the sheep. So will you hear his voice today? Will you receive his grace? will you live his life. He is seeking to give the abundant life to you. And will you follow his proven leadership today?